Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where one night two young lads seeking justice decide to become their own heroes, with them saying, "Yes, Jim, I will make the podcast."
Yes.
Welcome, everyone. Happy, today we're recording this
Sunday.
On...
It is a day. It is a Monday.
Yeah, we're recording this Monday night. You were busy. You're yes. off at a wedding, and I didn't want to record the podcast by myself for
kept
an hour.
You, just let Jim just. I would have left the setup for you. You would have to come in and zip record and then leave.
Yeah, and get then just let the record capture the entire time.
Just max out my memory.
Yep. Anywho, welcome guys to your brand new episode. Today, as always, we're gonna be talking about pop culture, comic books, movies, all of those great things.
Whatever's.
So. I've been in a Brooklyn Nine-Nine, marathon.
Have you gotten to the Corgi yet?
I've watched the entire first season. Okay. I don't remember if the Corgi's in
I think
there.
It's in the second season.
But I just got really into Andy Samberg.
It's a good show.
I love it. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I love Andy Samberg. I love the Lonely Island guys. And then I watched Popstar, Never Stop Stopping. And I also watched another movie called 7 Days in Hell. With Andy Samberg and Kit Harington.
What?
And it's about
them.
They're
all comedies?
Yeah, they're both comedy. They're both mockumentaries.
Okay.
So Popstar Never Stops Stopping is a mockumentary, and it's kind of a parody of Justin Bieber's huge documentary. And it features all three guys from Lonely Islands. And there's so many cameos.
That's what I hear.
It's such a great movie.
I mean, even from the trailer, you only see two, but I've heard there's a lot.
Sarah Silverman's in it, Emma Stone's in it, Justin Timberlake, Seal, the guys from Wu-Tang. There's so many people, and it's all about
Terry Crews there at some point.
No, sadly. Aww. But it's all about.
So they were good friends.
All these dudes, or this group who were the Style Boys, and then they broke up. And. Andy Samberg's character does the solo career, becomes Connor for real, and his second album just kind of fell to shit. And it's him trying to redeem himself. And yeah, it's literally almost a parody of that Justin Bieber documentary. So instead of a freaking what's his name, the creator, they have Hunts.
Oh, Hunter he's the Hunter. The guy who's making millions off him or whatnot.
Yeah, the guy.
He's producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really funny. And just the movie itself, it's super short. It's only an hour and a half, but I was laughing the entire time. Justin Timberlake and we need to have movie night. We got to get Steve and Jim and Adam everyone
watch
over
dumb
here.
Movies. Yeah. We got to watch while we were waiting for the wedding to start. There was a Star Wars marathon on TNT for whatever reason.
Nice.
So we just kept making bad commentary over the prequels. It was great.
I will defend the prequels. You do not understand the Empire until you know the Trade Federation's logic with the Outer Rim galaxies.
See, we weren't. It was more bad commentary of they could have made this so much better. If they had just done this in the scene, it wouldn't have been that bad.
Well, retrospective.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then 7 Days in Hell. Andy Samberg, Kit Harington playing tennis.
Oh, yeah. That's on. I heard about that. Or I saw an ad for that on HBO.
It's so great. Kit Harington is threatened by the Queen of England. Andy Samberg was adopted by the Williams family. So he grew up alongside Serena and
Venus.
And they're all just has-been.
Amazing.
He's just a has-been tennis player. And... God, it's so amazing.
I need to watch it. I think it's on HBO, so I'll need to go check that out.
Yeah. So those are my movie recommendations for the comic book podcast. So let's actually talk about some other stuff.
That did happen, kind of, sort of. So I guess we'll just go down our list as usual. And the thing that everybody wants, we think, maybe, is Dark Knight 3, Master Race is getting a 9th issue. Because, okay... Sure.
Just riding that coast of money.
Yep. It's not even going to be done until 2017 now.
See, it's really funny. Everyone has this disdain for it. At least it seems like Reddit doesn't necessarily like it, but it's always in the top sellers because
everyone's just maybe there's going to be that moment where it's oh my God, this is amazing.
Frank Miller and Brian Azzarello have us like full on Stockholm syndrome. Like,
it's just like,
I don't,
maybe it will be good.
Like this. Why am I continuing to read this? Like, I think it was
at this point, it's just like for the sake of collecting all of it.
I just need to finish it.
Yeah.
I have all half of it. My rule is that I want to finish an arc before I like cancel it. But it's like, this will only be 8 issues. I thought it was going to be 6. And I'm sitting there.
I kind of wish it was 6 now.
I think it was issue 4 or maybe like issue 5, but it's like, oh yeah, Batman hid these machines in the clouds that will rain kryptonite. Well, how do you prepare for that? Like, what in the world? The only Kryptonian, granted you did fight him a couple years ago, but in Dark Knight Strikes Again, you know, the one that we don't talk about because it was really bad, and oh my goodness, do not ever read it. It makes Dick Grayson like the worst person ever. So. And it's like he and Supes are buddies in that, and it's like, oh, this is pretty decent-ish. Not really, because the whole Dick Grayson Joker thing is terrible, and you should never actually read this godforsaken comic. We pretend that it doesn't exist. So taking all these things together, what story needs to be told? Like, we understand that the Kryptonians from Kandor are the master race, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a new villain pops up as they start dying because they're literally dropping like flies from the sky.
Batman becomes the villain.
What story is being told? What is the master race? Does Superman decide to go rogue? Does Wonder Woman and the Amazons decide to become? It's like, you know what? This world is fucked. We're going to kill it.
We're just going to kill it. It's ours now. Fuck it.
Yeah.
There's no details on what... All it says, Azarella said in an interview, is the story turned out to be bigger than both of us.
So it's not
What is
even,
the story, though?
It's not even done. 2016. The story got announced last year. They said they've been working on it. They said they've been working on it. This is a limited edition story. Mm-hmm. Like, a limited series. Why not market it? Why not even bother selling it until the story was done?
Because
this is an Elseworld. But this is an Elseworld story, essentially. This is just like the Earth One books.
Yes, it is.
Francis Manipal has been working on Aquaman Earth One for 2 years, and we're okay with that. Grant Morrison took 4 years.
I think the issue here's the biggest problem that they keep shooting themselves in the foot. They keep putting a release date on it when they know they're not. They don't have no idea if it's going to be done by then.
Yeah, it's been delayed to hell.
It's like, you don't have to tell. If you just say like, oh, it'll be done sometime. Like, well, once we actually have a release date, we'll get it to you.
You know what else had a release date? Final Fantasy.
No. They didn't have to put a release date on it.
Hang on, man. Final Fantasy is great. I'll wait forever. But freaking Batman Europa, also by Azzarello, was supposed to be this whole thing about working with all these different European artists, and it was super cool. It's a fantastic story. And it was solicited 5 years ago and did not come out until this past year. And I'm like, oh, cool. Make the hype announcement, but don't actually put a stamp on it. I mean, it reminds me of...
Put a stamp on it when you know you have a release date you can make.
Yep. Or, what was it? Captain America White, also solicited years ago, but the thing was, Marvel never, like, released the book. Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb were like, yeah, it's been done. But it's Marvel's
done. Hawkeye had the same issue where... Even, like, people were going to AHA and Fraction, they're like, the book's been done for months. We don't know what Marvel's doing with it.
Marvel was planning on who was killing the Hulk.
But no, like, that book had, like, a 6-month hiatus between, like, the last two issues for no discernible reason of why they just held off on it. It was just weird.
Should we kill off the Hulk now or later?
I mean, that was a year before Civil War II, though.
That was a year before anyone was interested in Hawkeye. Kidding.
Hey, that was the run that made him popular.
That was the run that made him the Hawkeye that we all know and love with Pizza Dog.
Pizza Dog.
So, you know, speaking of Batman, the Batman solo movie was announced still to be a year and a half away.
We all kind of thought they were started working on, but it doesn't even sound like they've really done much with it other than the writing.
I mean, it's like pre-production stuff. Justice League hasn't even finished wrapping yet. So
are they filming it all in one big chunk?
Yeah.
Okay. It's probably a good idea to do that.
Yep. And it's kind of one of those things that's like, all right, if they capture Batman's tone right in Justice League, that means we have the perfect tone for the Batman movie. So I think they should wait.
It's like a testing ground.
Yeah. Because this Batman's going to be, you know, a little lighter. He has a darker costume. He has a few less bodies trailing behind him, so a little bit lighter.
The light gray now instead of ball black.
Yeah, a little bit gray.
Wait, and or was it the other way?
It's the other way around. Oh, wait. Yeah, it's black right. with darker black.
That's right.
But, you know.
More Dark Knight-y.
Again, Batflick and Geoff Johns. They have my faith. They have my trust. And everyone's just waiting for the Batman movie, just like everyone's waiting for an official Man of Steel movie.
In the meantime, if you want your Ben Affleck, go watch his new movie. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks really, really good.
I saw the trailer for it. It's the one with Anna Kendrick, right?
Yeah, the accountant.
Yeah, it looked interesting.
It looks pretty cool. It kind of looks like, it gives me that Looper kind of style. Like he has this like second job the whole time, and everyone's just like, who is this guy? Just taking out people. It looks interesting, though.
Fair game. I only saw that trailer when I started watching Popstar. Never Stop Stopping.
It was on like four times when we were watching the Star Wars marathon. Because we had time to kill and we didn't know what to do.
Was the best character ever in there?
Yes. Yes. Jar Jar fucking Binks.
Nah, dude. Steve, it's all about Watto.
Oh, no.
Annie! Little Annie!
We missed the Watto part. We got to, like, the end. We started on, like, the end of Phantom Menace. We're just like, God damn it, fucking.
This is pod racing?
Yeah, we got this is
pod racing.
He says it twice in that whole sequence, too.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Once wasn't enough?
How to stop childhood
also,
actors.
Also, me and Steve were just cringing. It's like, how did Jar Jar ever become a thing? Well, like, he literally wins the war off just being dumb fucking luck.
I mean, don't we all? Don't
not
we all?
Not as much as him. Like, literally every sequence is just, like, him fucking something up, and then it turns out okay.
Well, it's like management probably wanted something funny, and George Lucas is like, you know what? Jar Jar Binks is going to work just
incredibly
the
same
way the Ewoks work.
Incredibly racist aliens.
Yeah.
It's what we needed.
Just like Guido.
Guido? Watto.
Watto. Getting, I said Greedo and
you're getting your
Watto
Tatooine
at the same
mixed
time.
Up.
I've been playing Battlefront again.
Really?
Yeah, the new DLC with the Death Star trench is coming out. So, like I said, my time is divided between like marathoning Final Fantasy 13 and playing whatever else just so I can be social with.
And I'm trying to catch up in Destiny.
I thought about it.
You do get a little thing to boost you to level 40.
I'm level 25, 215 light level. Not even 215, I don't think.
Well, they made it a little easier to get at least 340 stuff.
Well, whatever. Anywho. Doctor Strange will appear in Infinity War.
Along
big surprise.
With 62 other characters.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
You got to have the powerhouse in there to, like, bat the Infinity.
You
got to
have that new fancy character, too, that you're trying to promote the hell out of.
Or, you know, the fact that the eye of whatever Doctor Strange has... Not the Eye of Sauron. the magic amulet may possibly be an Infinity Stone in and of itself. So it's going to be like Thanos ripping it out off him or whatever. So, you know. Still, I read a report today that they literally pushed the Doctor Strange movie back as far as it is because they wanted Benedict Cumberbatch and they did not want anyone else for the role. They wanted to fit his schedule. I'm like, I understand. You know, I understand. You really like an actor. But why Doctor Strange? Why Benedict Cumberbatch? It's like two things I don't personally like. I'm trying to understand.
On the plus
side,
Luke Cage is coming out this week.
Yes.
So we got that to look forward to.
And he and Iron Fist are having a Christmas special issue.
Oh, nice.
It's called Luke Cage Iron Fist Sweet Christmas Annual.
Oh, my God, yes. This is the only way you can do that.
I am just so happy that we possibly have the two of them delivering presents. I think that's amazing. So speaking of which, the director for Luke Cage said that even though Danny Rand will not fully appear completely in the Luke Cage series,
he'll be around.
Are setups for season two for the two of them to do the whole Heroes for Hire type of scenario. Especially if Defenders is received really well. And I mean, at this point, we don't even know if Luke Cage is going to be received well, but looking at the Marvel Netflix series in a row, sweet, super popular, a week later gets greenlit. Sweet, super popular, gets greenlit. So I can only imagine that Luke Cage is going to fall into that same fashion. Yeah.
I feel like they just have faith that the fans are going to like what they're doing with it.
Yeah, so much better than the Marvel movies.
I mean, it gets into the character's head a lot more.
You mean Ant-Man didn't have anything like that, where we really get to understand Scott Lang and how he's a criminal that works at Baskin-Robbins, because Baskin-Robbins will always find out what? What? Sorry. Again, I'm just always going to use Ant-Man as my way to pick at the Marvel movies.
Your MCU punching bag.
Yeah. I mean, Civil War, even in and of itself, not a bad movie, still had those cookie cutter moments where it's like, we know this is a Captain America movie, but we have to give as much time to Iron Man 2. Even though everyone disagrees with Tony Stark, and Robert Downey Jr. is getting the bigger paycheck anyways. Yeah. I'm on, like, this is why we shouldn't record after I get done teaching all day. I'm just, like,
salty.
Bitter.
So much salt and vinegar.
Just punch Marvel. Yeah. I'm still excited. I still will be one of those people that's like, ugh, Marvel movie. I'm going to go see it the weekend it opens.
Anyway,
whatever.
Still
bad.
Probably gonna be
Let
enjoyable.
Me type a review. Doctor Strange. That movie wasn't half as bad as I expected. What a piece of grade B work. Seriously, Doctor Strange is their way to like actually make something different.
Yeah,
this is the most out there movie.
I feel like it'll be very visually appealing, if anything.
Oh, it's gonna look pretty. Yeah,
but I don't know. Like I said, like we both aren't big fans of Cumberbatch, so I don't know how it's gonna go very well.
I think the internet just ruined Cumberbatch for me, and that's why I kind of went
probably
on the
tirade. Tumblr's fault.
Yeah, Reddit doesn't have favorite actors, that's why I stay on Reddit now.
Yeah. Man, so I'm just thinking of all the movies that I want to see coming up. Passengers, my god, that looks amazing. It's with it's Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, the space one.
Yeah, the sci-fi movie where they wake up from hibernation too early.
Ah,
it looks freaking crazy and cool.
Space.
I've also felt like I've read a plot line like this before, but it still looks pretty cool.
Yeah. What was it? Speaking of space things, I know Duncan Jones came out and said he's working on a new movie, and it's going to take place in the same world as Moon.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be about Moon.
Hmm.
So, anyways, moving forward. IDW and DC honor the victims of the Orlando shooting, creating a 144-page comic called Love is Love. It'll be worth $9.99, and all proceeds will go to the Orlando Victims Fund, which goes out to all the victims from the Orlando nightclub shooting, and it's the coolest thing ever.
The cover is the most gorgeous thing I've seen.
Yeah, it's Raphael Albuquerque, and he has a Batwoman standing with an American flag that turns into the gay pride flag. And then there's another cover with Wonder Woman standing there, and it's a bunch of people behind her all dressed up as like heroes and everything, but like trans men or men is on one person's shirt. And it's just like really cool. It's really very, it's represented really well. And just like, okay, we're not appealing only to this part of the LGBTQ community. We're going out there for everyone. And it's really cool because of like all the creators on it. Steve Orlando, James Tynan,
Gail Simone,
Phil
Jimenez, Patton Oswalt,
yeah.
The comedian. I didn't know he could write stuff.
I think he writes his own material, Zach.
Other than that, like write comic books and stuff.
I mean, I think, So it's really cool seeing all these different creators come together, especially, you know, all those really big DC people that are part of that community, like Steve Orlando,
yeah,
James Tynan, and Phil Jimenez especially. You know, Phil Jimenez, the only reason he's writing Superwoman is because it's like, I feel like these female characters need to be represented. And a large part of my gay identity is going to be used in this in a way to express it to everyone as a reader. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, you know, that's so cool.
It's also a good way for DC to, like, show off, like, hey, look at all these diverse characters we do actually have. Sorry, but they haven't gotten their own books. It's not a
PR statement.
No, it's not.
It's not like Marvel saying, look,
it's a
bi character.
It's just a good way to, like, incorporate those characters. And, like, having one of the most well-known ones on the cover is probably the best choice.
Yeah. It was really funny because on Tumblr, as soon as news broke out, everyone, like, flooded Gail Simone's inbox. Is like, are you on this? Are you on this? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what Love is Love is. And then, like, 10 minutes later, she's like, oh, no, I'm writing in this. Don't worry. I remember now. I didn't know what the name of it was.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yes. And then, again, like, James Tynan, Steve Orlando. Man, freaking Steve Orlando is so freaking great right now with Night of the Monster Men, too.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I'm so behind on everything.
So it's really cool.
You stare at my pile of things.
It's really cool because Tom King came out and said, it's like, you know, I really wish all of us Bat Family writers came together. We were just sitting at a bar talking about, like, what giant thing should Batman fight. And then Mark Doyle, who's the DC editor, was like, Batman versus Godzilla. And then James Tynan and Steve Orlando riffed on it. It's like, what if he fought Kaiju? And that kind of sparked the whole Night of the Monster Men thing, especially with Tom King. He full on said, it's like, you know, I wish I could take some of the credit, or I wish I could take credit for this idea, but a lot of the writing and a lot of the storytelling is all Steve Orlando. He's doing, like, this beautiful piece that's really high octane, really fun, that also deals with some of the fallout of Tim Drake's death and other things along those lines.
I think that's been my favorite part of the whole Rebirth thing, is we do it, we have that underlining plot line driving the Rebirth storyline that we got at the with the one shot, and then we still have the main core stories going on with all the characters. Like, it's so great to see those two, not them having, like, bashing each other's heads in of, no, this event has to take over everything.
Yeah,
like, the hope is that it's gonna just all come together as one big story.
Yeah, one of my peeves just in comic books in general is that there's, like, a false sense of continuity, especially with, like, the DCU period. And it's like, who cares about continuity? We're going for great storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, cool, great. Burnside isn't that bad. But where does Batgirl Burnside fit in with the Batman Endgame? Or where does that fit in with Grayson? And we got hints of that, but we didn't really have a strict linear progression. Here, with Night of the Monster Men, we get that. With, like, the Marvel events, where the event title is, like, shoved down everyone's throat and they have to write to it, we're not really sure where things are happening. Like, oh man, this Invincible Iron Man crossover came in and it takes place at Rhodey's funeral. Well, where in the Civil War 1-5 do we get to see Rhodey's funeral? Like, literally Iron Man was the only story that told that.
Like, not even Captain Marvel's story told that, which I feel like she should.
They're pushing the romance. But, you know,
they just keep talking about her flashbacks and PTSD over it.
Yeah, but, who knows, man.
Yeah. But so speaking of monsters and kaiju, the director of the new Shin Godzilla, if you don't know the Shin Godzilla, those are, like, the OG Godzilla filmmakers, or the studio that did all those. And I didn't realize the director who did the original Evangelion anime series was directing it, and he came out and said, hey, don't worry guys, the fourth movie of his, like, whole kind of structuring the story is gonna come out, like, soon.
Is this, like, the 4.44?
I don't know what his numbers. This guy is just weird. The stories are always been weird.
Haven't you, like, tried to do the linear order of Evangelion? Or was that, like, the melancholy of Haruhi?
Oh, no, that's the melancholy of Haruhi has some weird linear, or, like, an actual timeline to it that they just released all the episodes out of order.
Okay.
Like, yeah. No, I have not done that, but there is an actual order that's really bizarre.
Yeah, it's just like watching Star Wars, bringing it all back. You watch
4,
5, 2, 3, 6.
And because we forget one exists, because we don't want to.
Again,
it doesn't matter too much.
The Trade Federation matters so much in structuring the Empire and putting Palpatine in control. Literally, without the Trade Federation, we would not have had an Empire.
Oh, just to clarify, the Shin Godzilla, that's the new Godzilla movie made by Toho. The studio's Toho. I got that wrong. Okay. Name of the movie, Shin Godzilla.
Okay.
So, apparently he's been busy with that developing that, so that's why the fourth movie has been in like purgatory for the last like 3 years.
All right.
So I'm pretty sure 3.33 came out in like 2014.
So now the next question is when are we going to get Madoka Magica season 2?
Who knows, man. I don't know.
Ooh, he said he wants to revisit it.
Wait, that the same guy who did it, Evangelion did that?
No. The guy who Madoka Magica. We were talking about anime. Speaking of anime, I have not watched any ever since like my summer binge.
I've been wanting to watch ReZero because everybody's like on the hype train for it.
Nah, you gotta watch Your Lie in April.
I don't want to cry. I don't want feels.
I don't want emotion. Take them
you
away.
You go watch One Punch Man again.
One Punch. Which is also getting for season two.
Yeah, it's getting season two.
Speaking of some really great foundations of everything that is all good and holy, Whataburger.
Oh, yes. The award did the dumbest piece of news I read all week.
Yeah, Whataburger is concerned about the trademark of the Wonder Woman logo, where Wonder Woman is like two W's stacked on each other with a W, like Whataburger shaped a bird. Yeah. Whataburger has also tried to sue literally everyone.
Oh, my God. Is this even real? Here's an actual quote from the article. Whataburger anticipates a positive discussion with DC Comics and a resolution of that discussion that will be acceptable to both parties, the spokesperson told Tron.com.
Have you looked at the other like companies Whataburger's tried to sue in the past?
No, I haven't. Is this a common thing?
Bleeding Cool has like a list of like 15. But this really reminds me, I think it was Rihanna.
Oh my God, I can't even take this. Contrary to some suggestions, Whataburger is not at war with Wonder Woman over her newly redesigned logo. Is this even real?
Well, before you like read that quote, Rihanna.
Sorry.
I think it was Rihanna at least. Tried to trademark Robin.
Yeah.
Because that's her first name, and then DC's all like,
"What?
That's we have a Robin also," and like the court case never settled or anything. Like it just faded into obscurity.
Yeah, it's just I. This is one of those things that you just make it go. It's like these are some things that people have to deal with at work. They have to deal with legal matters on the W's stacking for logos.
Well,
I do not envy them.
Vamp real quick, and I'm going to bring up that Bleeding Cool.
I'll find another good quote.
Cool.
What a... Now to continue that. While Whataburger noted Wonder Woman's registration of her prior stacked W logo as a trademark in 1985... It did so without a great deal of concern, given the version of Whataburger's logo at the time was somewhat different than the Whataburger's Flying W logo, and in particular because Wonder Woman's logo was registered for comics, not food, beverages, or restaurant services. What is even going on in this thing?
Yeah. So Whataburger has a problem with DC, who are registering the trademark for the W movie logo. Logo under these product categories: cosmetics, namely lipstick, lip gloss, non-medicated lip balm, mascara, nail enamel, face powder, face cream, skin lotion, skin gel, body powder, bath oil, bath gel, and non-scented bath salts, hand cream and lotion, body cream and shave lotion, skin cleanser, and non-medicated body soaks, and the list kind of goes on. And then it starts talking about all the different types of clothing that they're trying to...
Oh, no.
So it's clothing for men, women, and children, namely t-shirts, sweatshirts, jogging suits, trousers, pants, shorts, tank tops, rainwear, cloth, baby bibs, skirts, blouses, and etc. So here's the other list things Whataburger has tried to challenge. What a hey, what a hot jam, what a crock, meals to go, what a melon, what a street tacos taqueria, what's up burger, what a nutty cookie co, wow, what a pizza, what a price, what a foe, I want to go there.
What is it?
What
is
a
it tofu?
It's foe. Foe.
Oh my God.
What a foe. Nice. Franco's, what a pizza, what a nut, what a peach, what a lot of pizza, what a wing, what a pickle, Wada, as just a restaurant, Wada.
Wow.
Wada dog, Wada cake, and Wada cake, and more. So,
Good God.
Yeah.
This is just one of those things that makes me not, to be glad I never deal with marketing.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't work in corporation. So, Whataburger, good luck.
Oh, Lord.
I've never had
congratulations, you won the dumbest piece of news award for the week.
What is Whataburger? I don't know.
What?
I've never had Whataburger before. Really?
It's actually pretty good.
I don't know, man.
It's good for fast food.
I mean, I lived in Alaska.
It's a Texas thing.
And I moved here. And we didn't go when we were in Austin. Because we were like pizza and barbecue.
I want like actual Austin things.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
Should I continue the rest of the things that they're trying to challenge?
I think we got the point.
Okay.
They like to challenge things.
So Mark Miller now has been wanting to build up the Millerverse. One of his things is that he makes the comic, then sells the rights to it. So that way both he as a writer and the artist get paid royalties for it. And the thing,
which is pretty, a lot of people have been very controversial over that. I think Bendis has been very outspoken, just the way he conducts things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't think it's authentic the way writing should be done.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, Bendis, he's only made Powers. It's not like everything that he writes, he aims to try and sell it as a product. But like Fox, every time Miller's in like LA, they meet with him and it's like, what do you got for us now? Or I don't even think it's Fox, whatever company shot off Kick-Ass and
Universal, I think.
Kick-Ass and Kingsman. Kick-Ass. Because I remember that was like a topic for Chrononauts.
It was Universal and Lionsgate.
Yeah, so whoever Mark Miller's rep was at Universal and Lionsgate was like, what do you got for us? And it's like, well, I have this thing about Chrononauts where these dudes travel in time and they steal valuable pieces in time and kind of create an empire based on those things. And then everything that they used kind of turns on them. And it's about the main character trying to learn how to be human and not focus so much on his work and everything else. And it's like, oh, sweet, we'll buy it. And Miller's like, no, I want to write the comic first. So that way I can sell the rights and help someone else make the money, which in and of itself is not really that bad of an idea, but the way
in terms of like he goes about making, it. Yeah, in terms of like profits and like keeping yourself alive in the business, like makes sense. Like, since comics is a very, especially if you're just writing, like purely just writing, like unless you're with like one of the big two, it's very hard to make money off your independent stuff.
Yeah.
So I get it. It's just, yeah, is it morally, is it the way you should be writing? I don't know. But I mean, it's still, all this stuff's really entertaining.
Yeah. So Miller wants to make a superior movie, and it's going to star.
He wants it to star one man, and his name is John Cena.
Thanks for blowing the audio out.
Hey, I have to do it sometimes too.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start hearing the buildup, I think you'll know where it's going to.
I don't know.
Part of me really wanted to.
I can't see him in that role.
Part of me really wanted to just edit in the John Cena yell.
There's still time.
I can do this.
So that's interesting to say the least.
Yeah, like he specifically wants one person. And the reason was like he saw how well he did in Trainwreck. And
you know, I think Kayla's seen that.
It's like Amy Schumer's movie.
Yeah.
He actually has some really freaking great scenes.
Okay.
He's like they're like in a movie theater. He's like trying to pick a fight with a guy in there, and he just keeps making really, really like,
oh, insults. That's where that's from.
Yeah. It's just like, I will suck your dick.
Okay.
Not sure if that's the way you want to go with that one, but okay.
I think you're a really nice guy.
Yeah. It's just, it's really funny scene. Yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting that he specifically wants that guy,
yeah,
to play his role.
I mean, this is going to be like John Cena's way into the movie business, kind of like The Rock.
Yeah, a little bit.
Holy crap. The Rock was so tiny back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's just like walking muscle. It's crazy. Because
he is a rock now.
During my movie marathon, you know, I think what spurred it was I was watching The Mummy King, Or not the Mummy King.
Mummy, the Mummy Returns?
Yeah, the Mummy Returns. I was thinking Scorpion King.
He is the Scorpion King.
Yeah, he's the Scorpion King in Mummy Returns, and then he's the titular role in the Scorpion King. But he is so much smaller than he is today. Like, the dude is massive.
Yeah.
Usually it's the other way around. Yep. But, oh, speaking of movie news, though, in comics, Sony wants to make their own comic universe. That they are going to build their own universe using Valiant comics. Huh, okay. I saw this article.
It's going to be really big for Valiant.
Yeah. I mean, that might be Valiant's kind of step into the limelight. And I think they're going to use, I think it was Exo Manowar and something else. Yeah. Valiant Comics. Sony. But, yeah, Sony sets up the Valiant Comics Cinematic Universe because everyone's doing it now.
Is that literally what they're called? What it says?
This is an article from Cinema Blend. Sony made a change to its planned Valiant Comics shared universe. Sorry. So, we live in an era defined by cinematic universes, but not every comic book fan falls neatly into the Marvel or DC camp because, you know, just saying, comic wars against the big two are kind of dumb. And so Sony is investing its ideas into producing a Valiant cinematic universe after a series of delays and alterations. So a report from The Wrap indicates that Sony will move forward with its brand new cinematic universe based on Valiant Comics. According to the report, the studio commenced production on a cohesive cinematic universe beginning with Harbinger, which is expected to hit theaters in late 2017 or early 2018. After Harbinger, the studio will follow up with the long-awaited Bloodshot movie, which is expected to land a year after the initial Harbinger film.
Huh, okay.
So, I mean, Bloodshot's... I know right now Jeff Lemire is writing the Bloodshot comic, I think. But
he was. I don't know if he still is, but
there's so many weird things that they can do with the Valiant comics. I mean, they have Geomancer. They have Psylords. They even have Turok part of their rights. So, I mean, seeing Bloodshot sit there with, like, Turok. Yeah. I'm like,
That'd be so bizarre. Well, didn't they have, like, a massive crossover comic to, like, celebrate an anniversary or something?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, you're right. It's kind of like how IDW is like, G.I. Joe and Transformers are in the same universe now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Okay.
Cool. So freaking G.I. Joe's riding in a car with Optimus, and then he transforms, and like he falls neatly into his giant cybernetic hand that should actually really break his back. Looking at you, Shia LaBeouf. Anywho, that's all I got for news, man.
Did we talk about the thing you said that people started a petition to get Shia LaBeouf to play Jason Todd?
Yeah. We didn't talk about that yet.
Oh, my God. Don't. Please, no.
I think he'd be really great.
That'd be so weird, though.
Like,
I don't know. He doesn't. I don't know. That's not the way I
pictured. Did you ever watch Fury?
No, I didn't. I heard he was good in it, though.
Freaking Shia LaBeouf was amazing in Fury. And he was actually supposed to be in Suicide Squad with David Ayer. Instead of Clint Eastwood as like random army man number three, it was supposed to be Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
And like the WB execs actually axed that idea because they said he was a little too crazy. Granted, Shia LaBeouf kind of went off the deep end in the past couple years, but
he's trying to reel himself back in now.
He's such a good actor. Like him in Fury was awesome. And I think that's actually what turned him Christian. He's like, you have to really believe in this stuff, man. Method acting. He also showed up to the movie shoot not showering.
Yeah, and knocked out his own tooth.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I just feel like it would be really weird to see him as Jason Todd.
Yeah, that's kind of fair. He's not very broody.
No. I feel like maybe like the really like the confrontational scenes where he's like yelling at Bruce could be interesting and probably could be done well. But everything else is just like I don't see enough snark in him.
I just get the Even Stevens in my head.
Yeah.
Like every time I imagine him yelling. We grew up in that generation.
Yeah.
But so a bunch of fans were like this is interesting. And I think the Reddit comments were all like, yeah, Jensen Ackles should be Jason Todd instead. I'm like, well, he already was. He was in Under the Red Hood as
Jensen.
Jason
Ackles looking old yet?
He's old.
He's like, what, late 40s?
Yeah, he's looking old, man. And then have him play
20-something. Yeah, no. That would not go well.
It's... I don't think we need a Red Hood just yet.
No.
You got to give at least one living Robin in the film universe first before you give us a Red Hood.
Yeah.
Give me a Nightwing. Give me a...
As much as I want to see him.
Give me Tim Drake, even. Ryan Potter for Tim Drake, 2016.
That would... Yeah. I did watch the video. I'm just like, please somebody contact him.
Yeah.
Please, Ben Affleck.
Batflick, please. He's doing make the it Tim happen. Drake.
You still have time.
There's still time. Did you see last week too? Sorry, I'm just going off tangents now, but WB released the concept costumes for Flash and for Cyborg for BVS. And the concept costume for Flash is actually what we see in the nightmare sequence where the helmet's unlocking and then it starts peeling off to you seeing the actual Flash costume. And it's like, we were actually planning, part of the studio is planning on going forward with this costume. I'm like, no, he would look like a Gundam.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like one of those things of, how are you running so fast when you're wearing like 40 pounds of armor?
And then the Cyborg costume. I made jokes. He looks like an Origin PC. He straight up would have looked like an Origin PC. But it's like the costumes look so bizarre. Like the whole, I am all for like the whole like Speed Force coming down on him and forming his suit. Mm-hmm. I'm not okay with like robotic enhancements folding his helmet.
Like when you think Flash, you think it needs to be sleek and aerodynamic, not let me have this armor to protect myself.
Could you look it up? Because I have like a 10% battery left.
WB Flash and Cyborg Flash costume
concept
art.
And I saw it on IO9, if that helps.
Like, your first link might have it, maybe?
Yeah.
Perhaps? No. I don't have any images. Zach is taking the laptop.
I can see you have a lot of Taken King things.
Yep. All my guides I'm going to need to look up later. So how are you doing, everyone? You having a nice day? How do you like the new intro? We're still trying to figure out which song we like. Why does Cyborg look like he's about to go fight? I don't even know what he looks like. Yeah, he looks just pretty much like an Origin PC.
He looks like Deathstroke.
Yeah, Deathstroke Origin PC edition.
Yeah. That's actually the name of my next computer is Deathstroke.exe.
Flash looks like a bit like Red Hood from Arkham Knight.
Yeah, it's very mechanical armor looking, not necessarily Flash.
No. It looks like he belongs in one of those like medieval crossovers. That's exactly what that looks like.
Yeah, it's very interesting, to say the least.
But those are the ones they're not going with.
No, thankfully.
Okay. But yeah, that's all the news I had, too. All
right.
So let's take a break, because we are working with another podcast called Meta Podcast, and I want to help them out, and they're going to help us out. So let's hear from them real quick, and then we'll be back. Whenever I hit the pause button.
This just in. We interrupt your currently scheduled podcast for an important announcement. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jimmy, and we are Meta Podcast. Meta-analysis of everything. Video games.
And not video games.
Well, primarily video game-themed podcast.
Check out our Zelda series and stay tuned for whatever adventure comes next.
Now we return to your regularly scheduled podcast.
And we're back.
We're back!
Not in black. We're not wearing black. I guess I'm wearing black.
I'm wearing pink.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So not much to discuss this week. We just wanted to kind of talk about two issues that came out recently.
Yeah. So instead of us having these on our recommendations list, we decided just to do a whole new segment called Our Heads Are in the Gutter. Gutters of comics between the panels. Yeah. Yes. Gotta explain.
In the long box.
Yeah. This week on Thinking Outside the Long Box.
No, it's not. They already have to deal with a fake podcast.
I can't wait until that episode comes
out.
I
am excited
for that.
It's the
next one. It has some of my favorite Gabe lines ever.
Yes.
So, in this segment of Our Heads Are in the Gutters, we're going to be talking about Trinity Issue 1, written by Francis Manipal, drawn by Francis Manipal, colored by Francis Manipal, and then The Wicked and the Divine, 1831, written by Kieran Gillen, art done by Stephanie Hans. And I'm not sure who the colorist is, if you want to do a grabby grab. But talking about Trinity, holy hell, it's the prettiest book ever created. And Francis Manipal, like, I was so excited when this issue got announced. And I was just kind of waiting for it to finally be like, here it is, Trinity, the thing we've all been waiting for. You could do it. You can do it.
It says the letterer is Clayton Cowles, but Stephanie Hans is the sole artist. So I think
so
she
probably did color.
It was probably watercolor.
Yeah.
Art then.
So Trinity has some of the most gorgeous paneling ever. Like the three opening panels, which introduce Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, their logo is blended in as panels. And then they break out of the panels, like, just showing, like, this is this character. Wonder Woman standing in front of her W. Batman's in front of the bats. Superman is very homely in his barn.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, these are all perfect representations. And then just the narration by Lois. It's like, yeah, when people talk about their kids, well, my son can lift a car. And, like, just that snark, those voices of those characters just made it very real, made it very exciting for me as a reader to get to know these characters again in a different way.
Yeah. And it's cool to see that they're taking it from the, like, after some of the events have occurred. So now it's like, okay, Bruce still definitely doesn't trust the new Superman. Wonder Woman wants to trust the new Superman, so that hence why they're over there.
And Lois just wants everyone to be friends.
Yes.
And I think the rotate, because I know it's not Francis Manipal on every single issue, I think the rotating team is him and Clay Mann. And I'm like, okay, this is literally the prettiest looking book that will ever be created right now. And one of the notes I had for this too is, what does this new Trinity mean? Because at the end of the story, we get Bruce and Clark, you know, there's that caption of Lois saying, what was once strangers are now brothers. And then what was once strangers with between Lois and Diana is like are now sisters. And it's like really building up those familial roles that these characters have always served.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, because this Superman is much older and
He very much wants to play the father figure.
Yeah, he does it so well with John, but just looking at these characters now, it's like, what does the world need with a father Superman or an older Superman with this younger Batman or this younger Wonder Woman? And I think it'll be a really cool concept building up upon those things, especially, like I said, this entire story, as Manipal states, is everyone just trying to become friends again and building up those relationships again, which I'm so excited over because the Trinity is so important to what DC does as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And then we at the very end, we get that weird, is it the universe again? Is it false?
Like a mirror?
Yeah. Is it like the memories of that place? Like what's going on there?
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Like that's what I kind of thought was like, it's the, because it's the same farm as old Superman's.
No.
Isn't it? Is it not?
Nope.
Oh, hmm. And perhaps that is the universe, like, trying to show what that Superman's life,
mm-hmm.
like, what led up to him dying.
I'm wondering about the death of the Kents, because that's never
explained. Yeah, that's never explained, too. So perhaps it shows that as well. Since it starts off with a Clark with the two Kents right there.
Or I'm wondering if it's like the OG Superman and it's like his memories of his father like a reflection of him. Because,
ooh, yeah, that would work for me.
This Superman has been so secretive. You know, he tries to keep such a low profile. He doesn't want to deal with Batman. He doesn't want to deal with Wonder Woman because they aren't his interpretations of them. You know, he's a stranger in a new land, which really creates this really cool and unique concept, because how often do you get to retell the story of the Trinity, making it very important, making it very interesting? Mm-hmm. Even Manpaul says it's like, this story is about friendship and nothing else.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, we have our Poison Ivy stuff, and she's going to be a character later, but this is much more about how these characters interact with one another.
I mean, yeah, it's even rather interesting that one of the things that the new Superman tries to do, especially with Bruce, is like he tells a story from his universe of this, of Batman in this rainbow costume, and he's just like, I never did that. And Diana's just like, rainbow suit, that sounds ridiculous, you never do that.
But it's like Superman makes it very important. It's like, you would do it for one of your Robins, though. You know, Dick had a broken arm, so you want to attract all the attention to yourself instead of the kid in the bright red and green and yellow. And it's like, well, listen, my Robins are much different from your son. And it's like, Bruce called them his children.
Oh.
Yeah, honestly, I thought Manipal was joking. He teased that image like a month ago of the rainbow Batman. And it's like, you all have been asking for it. Here it is.
And now it's a New York Comic Con exclusive pop. There's no way I'm going to be able to get that.
No. Unless it's like at the booth, the merch booth.
It's probably going to be at the Funko one.
Hey, if you can, White Lantern Batman for me. That's the one I want. We'll see. Trinity is going to be such a cool story. I feel like it's once a month, sadly. I want so much more, just because it's like right now all the DC creative teams are just like killing it with the respective artists and creators and writers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I just want more of that universe. You know, I just never want to leave this shared space, because we talk about this a lot. And I feel like I bring it up a lot, but it makes the world of DC so much bigger.
Yeah, it makes it feel bigger. It's not these isolated stories. It's, especially when Wonder Woman's like, I can't get home. It's like, yeah, you're referencing the main plot line that she's still trying to figure out.
Yeah, and then there's the gorgeous paneling with her and Cheetah.
Yeah,
it's like, the one person I called my sister has become so feral. And it's like, oh, man. Or, you know, unlike the new 52, where you would only see characters pop up in their own title. Oh, Batman, Superman. So only Batman and Superman are allowed to appear. The Superman, Wonder Woman. Only those two characters are allowed to pop up. But with Trinity, it's like, oh, duh, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman. But it's not a combat situation. It's literally them sitting down. Can we trust
each other?
Getting dinner together. And Wonder Woman brings a wild boar. And freaking John
Laser. Are you vegetarian? I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Freaking John Laser beaming Bruce.
Yeah.
Like 10 feet
back. I'm sorry. I just wanted to see who was through the door.
John is... Seriously, this makes me so upset that Super Sons has been delayed as much as it has, because John is one of my new favorite characters. I just cannot wait until the first meeting of him and Damian.
Oh my God.
And it's coming this December in Superman. So Tomasi and Patrick Gleason are going to be sitting there writing the first interaction of the Super Sons. And I can't freaking wait. It's going to be so awesome.
Woo!
Yeah.
But yeah.
Can we talk about the other love in my life?
Wictive?
Yeah.
With the gothic. The gothic romantic poets.
This is what I studied for 3 years in college.
And it all came true.
We freaking have Mary Shelley.
Percy as Shelley.
Inanna. Percy Shelley as Lucifer.
No, yeah.
Yeah. You have the Morrigan as Lord Byron, the sexiest man alive, who's absolute scumbag, but the sexiest man alive. And then you have the Morrigan as Claire Claremont, Mary Shelley's stepsister, and they're all on Lake Geneva.
Wait, who's you forgot Odin or Woden?
Oh, Woden's Claire Claremont. My bad.
Right.
Sorry.
I was gonna say, wait, so we're missing one here.
And then you have Hades, and we don't know who Hades is. But it's so cool and fascinating because we have maybe the first little step or inkling in who the Destroyer is, possibly as Frankenstein's monster. His
Redux.
It's... My one problem is that this isn't really timeline specific because the original Frankenstein was created in 1818 and the whole Lake Geneva thing happened much before that. But either way, this is a really cool redux and retelling of that mythos of Frankenstein, because Mary Shelley's not a happy person. She never should be. And this interpretation, I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, this is really bizarre. And then you have Claire Claremont, who people kind of forget. But she plays just this larger, more important role. And I don't know, man. It was really cool. And just Stephanie Hans doing the art, just it was very her, very gorgeous and flowing the entire time.
Yeah, and hearing, like, I think she spent her entire vacation in Seoul to get this done. And she was just so happy that everyone was responding well to it because she put so much work into it.
Yeah, it's truly a beautiful, beautiful story and a beautiful issue.
Yeah. And it, oh man, the very end where Inaké comes and finds, oh crap, who did she find again?
Is it Mary Shelley?
Yeah. Inanna. Like writing the story out, and you're like, oh, I thought you were going to let us live. Like, nope. Can't
no
have
one
that.
Ever lives.
You can't have that.
Yeah. It's really interesting, especially the whole Frankenstein monster thing, because even Woden says, and this is such a cool spin on Woden too, and it's not like the asshole Tron.
Yeah.
Not Tron. Yeah, no, I guess Tron.
Daft Punk.
Tron,
Daft Punk. Tron.
I mean, they're the same thing. Daft Punk did the entire second movie's soundtrack. But it's a really cool spin on these characters that we think we know, but they have different personalities, even as the same god.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of expecting, I'm like, are we going to see the same pantheon? But then we saw, like,
I mean,
Thoth,
we saw most of it.
And we saw Hades. And I'm like, oh, that's really
cool.
It
seems like they keep with a regular rotation.
Yeah. It's interesting because, again, it's
makes you wonder,
90
like,
years
why,
of difference.
Yeah. It's like, why are those, or 180 years?
Yes.
Because there's another pantheon before that.
Right. And we saw that pantheon in the first issue.
Yeah. Kill each other.
Yep. Kill each other. Inaké is just like,
yeah.
right into the mic.
Yeah. Get that snapping. Forgot what I was going to say. Oh, it kind of gives you a perspective of like, okay, so we have gods that we're seeing in the current pantheon. So are those ones like the core that have something to do with all the events
that
happen?
They're the Destroyer. They're part of that.
They're ones who lead into it. Because think about it. You have Lucifer in our current one that kind of drove Laura to want to become a god even more.
Inanna, same deal.
Yeah, Inanna, same deal. Woden was kind of there, like, telling everyone, you shouldn't do this. You should just fall in line. Morgans is kind of there as well.
Yeah, and think about the first god that they kill at the beginning.
It's Hades. The god of death.
The husband of Persephone.
Oh, shit. I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah, so it seems like this pantheon or these gods in general have some sort of link to the Destroyer. And like I said, I'm kind of wondering if the monster Frankenstein that they create, Frankenstein's monster, not monster Frankenstein. Sorry, I got to call it by its proper name. Sorry, I just thought of something.
Even the way it walks off, like, just the way
it
does.
You're not my sister.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa.
And no, just the fact that it just walks off, like in the original Frankenstein, where the monster just eventually leaves.
Yeah, it disappears into the mist and throws itself into a funeral pyre.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh man, the parallels.
And in the original 1818 version of Frankenstein, one of the things is like, I wanted to be your Adam, but I have been your Lucifer. And that's just so cool because they use Lucifer's life force as this. So again, part of me is wondering is like, since we see these same gods, did Frankenstein's monster eventually die in order for Lucifer to be reincarnated later. As what's her name?
Man, I really want to see the 1920s Pantheon now, just to see like what happened there. What was their big like fallout before everything?
Mm-hmm. And like I said, those four gods there at the end, what was their deal? Because mm-hmm. if Frankenstein's monster is the destroyer or something along those lines, like, why was Inanna so fearful of it? Why is Inanna wanting to bring Woden into her inner circle while dealing with Persephone, killing off Inanna, killing off Lucifer, all these different things? And it's like, huh, makes you think.
Yeah.
And it makes you sit there and wait till December for or November for Wickdiv to come back. And when it's like Laura sitting on a throne and it's like
everyone's surrounding her like an entourage.
True Laura fashion.
Yep. So, just how she always wanted.
Oh yeah. I'm super pumped and excited. All right. So great. That wraps up our gutters. We've cleaned them out. Let's move on to our picks. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay.
My pick this week is the long-awaited Raven miniseries. Issue 1 has finally arrived after being in hiatus for I don't even know how long. And it takes place after what looks like the events of the current Teen Titans series.
Yes, because Tim is dead.
Yes, and the whole plot is it's the younger high school-aged Raven goes to... her aunt's family to experience high school life and just kind of stay under wraps for a while.
And her aunt's family is like hyper Christian.
Yeah.
It's like just stereotypical white people.
It's just like that whole, like the I feel like you've probably seen movies like that before where the goth enters that super religious family, but it's like, instead of them shunning her, it's just like, oh no, we're here for you. Like, we care about you. She's like, this is different.
And I'm just waiting for the family to be like evil or get possessed by demons Raven like bashing them. It's like, I never liked your cookies anyways.
Yeah. But it's also just really fun to read in Raven's voice, just because I grew to love Raven so much from the Teen Titans animated
Tara
show.
Strong.
Yeah. But it was just such a fun fun introspect into her head, because you don't really get to go into her head too much.
Yeah.
Like, from all the other things she's been in. Like, she's always just kind of there. Yeah. But they mentioned the whole Trigun and, like, all the demons thing. And it seems like the whole plot is the demons are trying to rein her back into hell. And I just hit the table. Whoops. But so far, we haven't gotten too much. It's an issue 1. Just kind of setting up everything. Just kind of showing that there's this evil force trying to hunt her down. And they know that she is who she is.
Yeah. I really enjoy that Marv Wolfman's actually been coming back, returning to characters. He finished the second half of the DCU Cyborg title. Mm-hmm. Now he's revisiting Raven. You know, I would love to see him revisit Starfire in another series.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would love that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Really fun read. It's a 6-issue miniseries. So then we'll get to see Raven in Teen Titans as well.
Okay. So I have two things I want to pick. We haven't done the half hour of Zach talking about Superman lately.
It's back.
And so this issue of Superman is written by Patrick Gleason and Peter Tomasi. And art is done by George Jimenez, I think. It's one of those artists. And it is Superman's day off.
Oh my God.
And it's the best thing ever, because, you know, Clark, he's like, I got some time on my hands, and goes out to Gotham, goes out to Atlantis, goes out to Themyscira, and like helps all the heroes, helps out Flash and Central.
Wait, how do you get to Themyscira if Wonder Woman can't get there?
Not Themyscira, but he goes out to help Wonder Woman with something.
Okay.
And then he goes back home, and Lois and John are sitting on the couch, and Clark's like, you know what? It's time for us to become a dedicated part of our community. Let's go to the county fair. And I'm like, yes!
Papa Superman!
Papa Kent! And it's just like a really fun little ride. John is there wearing his glasses that Lois gave him to help, you know, lay low with his identity. And they're all at the county fair, and they're just trying to have fun. You know, they're going on rides. They're doing games. Like, John does, like, the whole throw the ball at the bottle thing. And then John hits the bottle, and the bottle doesn't move. And he's like, are you sure those aren't nailed down, mister? And my favorite part is John's talking to another character. I can't remember her name off the top of my head right now, but it's setting her up to be, like, John's little crush, you know.
Aww.
Little teenager, 12-year-old tween romance. And it's just, like, kind of adorable because John's blushing and, like, the girl's, like, talking to him. They're blushing and it's like, oh, that's adorable. And then Clark's, like, kind of egging him on. It's like, yes, that is your Lana, essentially.
Aww.
And there's a whole subplot of, like, these people are trying to rob the ticket sales booth, and Clark knows it, mm-hmm. but he promises Lois that he won't do it. He won't do the Superman thing. He, like, gave her his cape before mm-hmm. they even left the house.
Honey, where's my super suit?
And it was just really funny because they're on, like, so while they're drinking milk, Clark's like, oh, lactose intolerant, let me leave real quick. Defeats the burglars. And they're all on, like, the Tower of Doom-esque thing. Oh, so they're on one of those giant rides. Mm-hmm. And over, like, the PA system, it's like, yeah, these three people try to rob the main ticket sales booth, but some dude in a weird, like, Viking costume came over and stopped them. Like, he melted their guns with some heat ray vision. And Lois,
awesome.
As the ride's going down, John's yelling weak. Clark has, like, this guilty face, and Lois is like, I knew it! You couldn't even do it for a day! It's probably the best single issue that has come out of Rebirth since Rebirth has started.
It's a bold statement.
It is the best thing ever. It's just classic Kent Superman.
But now he has Lois to be like, shouldn't be doing this.
Lois is just, like, the ultimate snark, and, like, as much as I love Trinity, as much as I love all these things, I love those single issues that's just, like, the family aspect. Like, whereas Batman and Robin 18, also by Tomasi and Gleason, made me cry, Superman issue 7 made me, like, literally laugh out loud about just the humor and hijinks going on. I was like, this is amazing. Just the diversity of Tomasi and Gleason's amazing. You know, if they didn't kill Damian, that the two of them said, we could have easily written about Damian Bruce for 50 issues. But, you know, curses. Grant Morrison driving the line. Yeah, I saw some Reddit thread the other day. It's like, you know, what was the point in bringing Damian back to life? It's like, well, Damian's really important to Tomasi and Gleason. And the only reason Damian died in the first place was because Grant Morrison was doing his story. And you don't say no to Grant Morrison, especially since he created Damian in the first place. So that was my little 5-minute chunk of me just ranting about how much I love Superman. The
condensed version.
Yeah.
So what's your second pick?
Well, it's really funny because I'm the self-proclaimed Batman guy, but it's like,
you're just clamoring on all the Superman stuff. Yeah,
lately
now.
I'm like, Superman's been so good lately. Gleason and Tomasi. All right. So my second pick is 7 to Eternity.
Oh, yeah. So you picked that up.
Yeah, by Rick Remender, Jerome Apena, and Matt Hollingsworth. And so this is, like, the OG Uncanny team for Remender when he was working at Marvel. So the basic synopsis is, the God of Whispers has spread an omnipresent paranoia to every corner of the kingdom of Zal. His spies hide in every hall, spreading mistrust and fear. Adam Ocidus, a dying knight from the... Sidus, a dying knight from a disgraced house, must choose between joining a hopeless band of magic users in their desperate bid to free their world from the evil god, or accepting his promise to give Adam everything his heart desires. So, Rick Remender, Jerome Apena were on the Uncanny X-Force team. They did Fear Agent, and then Matt Hollingsworth did colors on Tokyo Ghost and some colors on Witches. So, it's really cool, and it's kind of like the typical Rick Remender thing of, like, family issues meets high octane plot. Like, the very first thing reminds me very much of, like, Old Man Logan, even though Remender didn't write that, but it's like this family living peacefully on the farm when these demons that serve the Mud King, the God of Whispers, come out and murder Adam's father. So Adam goes and he's like, I'm going to kill the Mud King. And his grandfather says, don't you bend your knee to him. Don't listen to any of his lies, because, you know, this God can give you anything you want. Yeah. The God can give you anything you want. And so Adam goes out and the issue ends with him standing before the God of Whispers saying, I'm here to kill you. And then the issue ends. And it's like, but what happens next, Remender?
It's a bold statement, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see how it goes. I really like Rick Remender. He writes super cool, just like obscure sci-fi fantasy stuff. Like Tokyo Ghost was super awesome. I love it so much. And I'm really interested to see how 7-2 Eternity goes. Because, man, Jerome Apena, his art, it's on point.
Nice.
It's on fleek.
It is. Oh, my.
That ended in 2013.
Yeah, that one's dead. No one says on fleek anymore.
It was a Reddit thread. It's like, what are you glad ended? On fleek was one of them. And the other one was like yellow and swag. I'm like,
no.
I still say swag as like,
I say that unironically.
I say it unironically now. So.
Swag.
Yeah. It's freaking 7-2 Eternity. Swag out of swag.
Swag out of Harambe.
Oh, don't do that. Have you taken your Pottermore quiz to see where your Patronus is yet?
No, I have not.
I'm trying to remember my login because I don't want to resort my house. I haven't even
freaking...
I'm scared I won't be a Ravenclaw anymore.
Feels bad.
Yeah. All right. So that about does it for this episode of Z2. As always, you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, the iTunes, the Google Plays, the Stitcher Radios. And if you like us, you can drop a comment, shoot us a message, leave us a review, and tell us how much you like us, or even give us some feedback and advice. If you like certain things, let us know, and we can make more of that happen just for you.
We got a very exciting thing for next week's episode. Super pumped that we get to finally do something like it.
Yeah, and... yeah, we have plans for that thing. We still have Overcooked laying in our back pocket.
It's ready to go. I think I'm going to release it this week, but we will see.
Just tonight. Just drop it at midnight.
No, I've been reading stats of when the best times are. I'm getting all that back end freaking knowledge. Nerd. Yeah.
Can't
get those views.
Yeah. So we're going to do some super fight. Or not super fight. We're going to do some. Oh, you can listen to us again on Thinking Outside Long Box. It's our super fight episode with them.
Yes. Ours was released a while ago, but they are also putting it out, and yeah, they'll have extra stuff with that episode as well.
Yeah, so you can check us out on Thinking Outside Long Box. You can also check out the Method podcast.
Yes, they talk about video games, what makes them great. They just recently wrapped up a Zelda series, I believe.
Yeah,
I saw that on Twitter. They're going through all the Zelda stuff.
Cool guys. Downloaded their podcast and I'm starting to listen to that. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, some good stuff. We're gonna have an ad on their podcast, so, and just kind of helping each other out.
Yeah, community, it's all about it.
Yeah,
be good to your fellow man and brother.
Also, one more thing, if you have a comic book recommendation, feel free to send it to us at z2podcasts@gmail.com, subject line of comic book or ZCBBC recommendation. Leave your name with it if you want us to have your name, and we will compile all those for the next picking of book club.
Yeah.
And then after that, if yours is picked, we will let you know.
Yeah. And
we'll shout out.
Yeah. I think that about covers everything. Once again, we love you guys. We wouldn't do this if we didn't have a few listeners that are interested in what we have to say. I have the hiccups now. It's like the worst.
Hit you at the worst time.
Yeah.
The best time.
This is all for Jim. Yes. And Jim only.
Oh, one more thing. I'm going to New York Comic Con next weekend, so that'll be very exciting.
It'll be his first time.
Yes.
Aww.
By myself.
Sorry. I have to teach.
I know.
So
it's not cheap.
Thank you guys again. And leave us a review. Tell us you like us and all those other good things. And we love you.
Goodbye. Wrong song.